having talked about faith and works and actions, things that we need to be doing and know we need to be doing, which will serve as a measuring stick. A measuring stick's not a doing stick. You get a measuring tape, it's already measuring what has been done. And so our works and our actions will actually measure, meet, and determine whether or not we are doing what we're supposed to be doing. Are we measuring up to the standard of Christ? And when we turn to 1 Corinthians 13, typically we think of it as the love chapter, and many times people will utilize it in times of wedding and wonderful times of good. It's actually dealing with the deeper topic with miracles and various things, but we will utilize it in this specific instance to weigh all of our works and all of our actions. Will they save us? We talked about and asked, are we faithful? Are we living as a faithful Christian? And then we're going to turn this concept of faith, and many times people will talk about faith and works, and then it's all of works. Now we're going to notice from 1 Corinthians 13, even our actions won't necessarily be a part of salvation without the proper motivation. 1 Corinthians 13, 1, when, again, dealing with the concept of miracles, so there's a broader text that we're not going to deal with specifically. But he says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And so when we start seeing this aspect of these works and actions producing nothing, does nothing, just like faith without works is dead, and we're going to see where your faith can be dead, and even your actions here can be dead. And so that gets to the question of, are we saved? Are you saved? And we'll couple this passage, and may come back to it in a moment, but with James, let's turn back to James 2. We referred to it. We're going to highlight just a few verses from it, dealing with this concept of being saved, our works and faith, and all of them need to be combined in this concept of what love is and what we need to have, and then what we need to, of course, do. What can we do about it? James chapter 2, verse 14, ask a question. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? And then the question, can faith save him? So now, when someone is saying, I am faithful, well, can faith save a person without having the works, without living the life, without being who they're supposed to be? If you're not being who you're supposed to be, you will not be doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're going to have to change who you are to be able to produce what you're supposed to. That's where we're getting to. Well, I'm going to skip a few verses. James 2:17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now, we've already read from 1 Corinthians 13, if you don't have love, it will profit you nothing. There's a lot of nothings and deads that we're talking about. And there sounds like a negative. But actually, now we need to just start focusing more on what's the positive. We need to have the faith, and we need to have the love, the things that we need to do. And a lot of times people say, well, you can't do anything to earn salvation. Well, James 2:20 says, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? If you can't do anything, you're already having a dead faith. And if you do something without faith, and if your faith does not produce something, it's dead. So something has to take place. And you get down where the rubber meets the road. God doesn't give you the faith. God doesn't give you the works. Doesn't say, here, I'm going to let you, just like giving money away, like a giveaway. Here, I'm going to give you some faith and give you some works. And that counts. He gave us Christ. He gave us love. He gave us hope. He gave us salvation. We have it available. Now the question is, what do we do about it? What are we doing about it? And when you look around, whether in the town or in your own home or within your own family or extended family, what do? How do you live? What do your works demonstrate? If you were measuring with a measuring stick, how are you measuring up? Now, James 2, 26, kind of ending with James 2, verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, this concept of the soul, the spirit, we already talked about the value of knowing God's word. Now, all of a sudden, we know a whole lot more. Someone that dies, they can only die once. It's appointed unto man wants to die. After this, the judgment. Hebrews 9:26. But here we get a thought. Not only do we know that a man only dies one time, this verse tells us the exact point when a person dies, when their soul separates from their body. As long as you have life, you have the soul. And as long as you have life today, you have hope today. You have opportunity. Now, a lot of times people will not see it as opportunity. If there was something very, very valuable to you right at the moment, you would stop everything. You wouldn't go to work. You wouldn't go home. You wouldn't even go to eat. If there was something of great value, you'd do it right here, right now. If a $100 bill was blowing down the road, I dare say, you'd stop everything and run down the road to pick up that $100 bill. If an opportunity of great value was coming your way, you would step in that opportunity road and you'd go down that road. Just as much as if you saw a tornado coming down the road, you would head in the opposite direction or head at least towards safety. Depends where you're going, if you're chasing something, going after something, following something, or you're running from something. We see it in a physical manner. We see it in a worldly way, and it always makes sense. Then when we get to the spiritual application, many times it's what, like Jesus says here, John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. When we're talking about salvation, we're talking about life, we're talking about being saved, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He who does not come, he does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. A lot of times people think when you're dead, there's only negative. Turns out, Jesus gives us the concept that we can pass from death to life. The sentence of death is already passed. All man. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And those that sin have the sentence of death. But if we do believe and obey, and if we are faithful to Him, and if we live in Him, and if we are a part of Him, He gives us life. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life, and have it more abundantly. That's in the here and now, as well as in the life to come, eternal life in heaven itself. But this concept of life and eternal life, where do we focus? Where do we go? When John talks further, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. Talking about this life. And do we have it? Do we even know what life is? Do we know that we are saved? This concept of having life, being born again, being saved, even being a Christian. Everybody will claim to be a Christian or being called a Christian. Here, John says, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Can we know we have eternal life? Is there an assurance that we know who he is and that we are following? And from John 8, where Jesus talks about abiding in the Word, do we know if we are? John 8, 31 and 32, if you abide in my Word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We can know. And so then the three initial questions are you faithful? Are we living as a faithful Christian? Are you even a Christian? Are you even saved? These are things to ask. And you have to ask and answer those questions. And we have that opportunity this moment to evaluate, are we living faithfully? Are we doing what God has said? And then where Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. I've heard of people saying, I eat, sleep, and breathe this, whatever it is. And it could be music. It could be work. People call workaholics. It could be Bible. It could be something of a hobby. You ask people about things they know about sports. You name it. It could be all sorts of things. And you know, boy, that person all there eat up with it. They love it. This is part of them. And where Jesus says, if you abide in my word, abide, live, have it as a part of you. This is you. When anything in life comes about, God's word is first and foremost. You follow it. You obey it. Then you are truly the disciples of Jesus. And you will know the truth. Today, truth is considered subjective. Your truth, my truth, their truth, some truth. And for two different people can have two different truths. But if we abide in the Word of God and if we know God's Word, we will know the truth. And it will be the truth that sets us free. Free from sin. Free from death. Free from being condemned. We will have freedom. Not freedom to sin. Not freedom to serve Satan. But freedom from sin. Freedom from the bonds and slavery of Satan. And then even freedom from the world, that we're not going to follow the world and the worldly way and the worldly thought. We will have a different thought process. When we have disasters as we've had recently, we will have a concept of souls and of spiritual. Sure, there's going to be times we'll be hitting the ground running, doing physical tasks, taking food, clothing, and shelter, ministering to people and their physical needs. But in the meanwhile, we'll also give them what's mostly needed. Whether they live in comfort or not, they need Christ. They need salvation. And then you don't have to go very far to far away disasters to find that need. We can see it in our own backyard. All around from this building extended to this town, to each and every one of us, our individual homes, within our own families, and then get so close that you look into the mirror that we need every aspect of this ourselves. And so we have that opportunity today. And as we sing this song, if there is something that needs to be done, do it now as opposed to later. Let's sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.